Hello, and welcome to Maximize Your Strengths with certified strengths coach, Alyssa Dare Nelson. In this culture focused on weakness fixing, Strengths Finder 2.0 is the answer to explosive business growth and strong relationships. It's time to maximize your strengths.
Well, hey there. You're listening to episode 114 of Maximize Your Strengths. I'm your host, Alyssa Dare Nelson. This podcast is here to help you uncover, celebrate, and truly maximize your strengths, your personal superpowers. If you've ever taken training on sales, you've heard that you need to identify your potential client's pain, dig into that, and help them solve that pain. It's very pain-based, right? Well, Michelle P.W. is the best-selling author of the Love-Based Business series of books that share how to sell more with love and build a solid, profitable business on a foundation of love. In addition, she owns a copywriting and marketing company along with writing and publishing fiction. Now, this is a totally different angle, and I'm really looking forward to introducing you to that angle. I love this positive approach so much. So let's dig right in. You're going to love this.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much. Really excited to introduce you to the Maximize Your Strengths audience. I can't wait for this conversation. I love your angle on marketing and all of the other things that you do. You're such a rich individual. So this is going to be a packed interview. So I suppose we should really just get into it. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So when I met you at the New Media Summit, I was totally taken by this whole love-based series. I would love for you to share with us right off the top, kind of how you embraced that love-based series of books that you've written and why.
So, well, it gets a little into my origin, but I think actually it would make sense here. So I was a copywriter. I taught myself to read when I was 3 years old because I wanted to write stories so badly. And so being a writer was a driving force my entire life. And when I was in college, I kind of discovered this whole wacky world of copywriting because I was really looking for something to write where I could make money while I was writing my novels. And so this led to me to copywriting. Copywriting is, of course, writing promotional materials, nothing to do with protecting intellectual property. Putting a copyright on something that's all lawyers and governments and other unpleasant things. So I built this business as a copywriter. And the thing is what I kept hearing from my friends, because I was really heavily into transformation industry, coaching, personal development, healers, all of that. What I kept hearing over and over again was how much people hated traditional direct response copy. It felt slimy and salesy and inauthentic. And, you might know what I'm talking about because these mm-hmm. are the emails that you read and it's like, click on this link, or you're on you're on a website page and it's like, give us your name and email address and you'll get this free thing. Or you're on those really long pages and you're scrolling down forever looking for the price, thinking to yourself, how much is this thing? And does anybody read all this anyways? All of that is direct response copy.
Yeah.
And it can feel very salesy, slimy, and authentic. All of that stuff. And so a lot of my friends said to me, I really hate the way traditional direct response copy feels. Can you come up with a new way of writing copy? And I said, hell no. there's plenty of great copy out there, books out there. Who am I to add anything to the conversation? So they pushed me and I kept saying no. And then in 2014, my friend Susan Liddy came out with this book called Love-Based Marketing. And I looked at that, and then at the time we were actually talking about doing a copywriting course together, and I thought, okay, that would be love-based copy. And I thought, well, what's the opposite of love-based copy? Well, that's fear-based copy. Mm. And that's when the entire philosophy just downloaded into me. And the thing is that the deeper I got into love-based copy, this whole approach, I realized how much everything in our life was built on either a foundation of fear or a foundation of love.
Mm. So good. So we haven't shared what your top five StrengthsFinder themes are. And in your story, I can hear so many of them already coming out. Your intellection, your positivity, your individualization, like all of them. It's so exciting. But will you share with us what your top five themes are from your StrengthsFinder?
Yes. So it is strategic. Intellection?
Yeah, it's not even a real word. Let's just be real. It's kind of a made up word. but yes, intellection, right?
Because I was going to say something else and I thought, wait, no A.
Yeah, there is no word. Real word here. What's going on? Says the copywriter and Michelle.
Positivity. Individuation, which is another kind of strange word.
I know it. I mean, like, how many syllables are actually in the word individualization, really? but all very good themes. You've got, you know, some strategic thinking, some relationship building, you've got an influencing, and Lord knows that you get it done. So you've got all the things here. And, you know, your positivity was one of the themes that really sort of popped out at me as you're talking about, oh my gosh, all of this sales copy has been written from a fear base. What if we spun it and went positive, right? Which is exactly what the entire field of positive psychology did back in the 60s, what Donald Clifton did with, you know, and that's where the StrengthsFinder sort of emerged, was from that research. It was like, wait a second, we've been focusing on all the things that are wrong. What would happen if we focused on the things that were right? And it really seems like that's exactly what you did with the copywriting and marketing.
Oh, how fascinating. Yeah, because what it is that to persuade people to take action, you have to tap into their emotions. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you want them to buy something or not. This could be trying to get your kids to go to bed at a decent hour at night. You know, whenever you're trying to get somebody to take action, you tap into emotions. And there are two types of emotions, love or fear. Mm-hmm. All emotions fall under either love or fear. So you can either tap into love or you can tap into fear. And that's how you do it. And so many of us, you know, because of, you know, culturally and other things, and a lot of it's unconscious, have tapped into fear. So that's why, you know, and then when you do tap into fear and you keep reusing fear over and over again, but you're right, you can totally do it by tapping into love.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting. I talk a lot about, you know, sort of our caveman brain, right? And our caveman brain, it was built to keep us alive, right?
Yes.
So we were afraid to walk out of the cave because we might get eaten by a saber-toothed tiger. And the whole idea is that A, we have to stay with the group, otherwise we die, right? So we don't want to be ostracized. So there's that fear of being sort of left out or ostracized from the community, which is why we care about people liking us. And number two, we just want to stay alive. And the best way to do that back then was to listen to that fear, right? So love didn't keep you from getting eaten by the saber-toothed tiger.
No, it didn't.
But fear did. And so it's very primal when we focus on the fear. But what's shifted in our world is that for the most part, we don't have to worry about dying.
Yeah.
You know, but our caveman brain doesn't understand the distinction because it's just still what it is, right? So how do you make the shift? Because certainly selling from a place of fear or pain points, as a lot of people do, is effective, right? And
right.
It seems on the surface like it might be the most effective. But how do you flip that and really create marketing from a place of love?
So I want to answer your question, but I also wanted to respond to something you said about the caveman, because one mm-hmm. of the things as I've dug more into this is I realized that part of the reason why our emotions give us, are designed to help us, and even our fear-based ones. And so mm-hmm. exactly what you said, you know, fear was, this, you know, in its proper place, fear keeps us alive. You know, grief lets us, you know, tells the world that we love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anger lets us know that our boundaries were crossed. And I think back in the caveman's days, they didn't like stuff down their feelings. Like if they felt fear, they listened to them and they let the feeling move through them, and it didn't stay in their bodies. The problem that we're having now, and this does lead into, you know, making the shift, is we don't want to feel those fear-based feelings.
Mm.
So we stuff them down. And, you know, we stuff them, we run from them, we hide from them, we bury them. You know, we're just, you know, we build our lives to not feel our fear-based emotions, which of course, what happens, we end up feeling our fear-based emotions because they just, they're going to win. And feelings just want to be felt. So the thing is, we can't trust them anymore the way I think we used to. Mm. And I think that's the thing that's key, is that they are designed, I believe they are designed to help us, but they've lost some of that help because they've been so stuffed that when they come up, you know, they start coming up and they can show up in ways that aren't necessarily maybe appropriate because they've been so, we've shut them down for so much. So one of the keys to really shifting to marketing and selling and building a business on a foundation of love is to honor those fear-based feelings. Mm. So, because I really believe that feeling them, letting them move through you, so you are not triggered by them anymore. Because what happens when you're with marketing and sales that are fear-based, and you're right, it is effective. And the reason why it's effective, this is why, is because they trigger the fear-based emotion in you while you're reading it. And the implication is if you buy the product, the fear-based emotion will go away. Much like taking a drink would make the fear-based emotion go away, or overeating, or grabbing that Rocky Rococo ice cream, or screaming at your spouse, or gossiping, or posting some sort of rant on Facebook. All of that stuff is designed to kind of keep us from dealing with our emotions. And so so what happens is, and this is all unconscious, by the way. I mean, nobody's out there like trying to, you know, well, I mean, maybe some sociopaths are who don't really feel feelings, but right. Most people are not trying to make other people feel bad, at least consciously. So, but what happens is you read the sales letter, the email, whatever, and they trigger shame. It's usually shame or fear. So they trigger shame or fear in you. And then the way that you can stop feeling that is to buy the product. Mm. The problem, of course, is that's why there's such high buyer's remorse, because you get done with that and you start to feel kind of icky because, you know, it triggered that fear-based emotion in you, and that's why you bought.
Right.
So one of the keys, though, is that if you yourself really struggle with scarcity, and believe me, it's okay. So I want you to be patient with yourself. I want you to be gentle with yourself, because everything that I'm teaching, it sounds simple, but it's not. It's one of those, yeah, it's easy, but not, or maybe I should say it's simple, but not easy.
Simple, but not easy. You got it. Yeah.
So but the thing is that it's much easier to be love-based in your marketing and when you're building your business, when your mindset is in a foundation of love and abundance.
Mm.
Because then when that's the case, then you won't be pursuing, you won't have that desperate energy. Because that's the problem. Like when you're afraid, like think of the energy that happens. Like somebody says yes to working with you, and then the next day they send an email and they say no, they change their mind. What do you do? Like if you were really counting on that money, you know, to pay your bills next month, you know, every part of you is going to want to start sending an email, getting on the phone, trying to kind of claw them back, right?
Right.
I mean, it's just natural. And that's all fear. But if you can take a breath and not be controlled by that feelings, by those, you know, if you can let the feelings move through you and then take action that is not reacting, but responding, it can change the whole dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so fascinating. You know, one of the things that when I'm taking on a brand new client is I do reward action, right? So I have Activator in my top five as well. And so I have an action scholarship, I call it, where if they're, I'm giving away all my secrets, you guys here. So now you know. So it's a bonus if you're able to take action within 24 hours. And that's because my Activator needs action. So it's there for my needs.
Right.
Right. And to draw in the kinds of clients that will work for me, that I can help the most. And I tell them that point blank when we're talking about it. But here's what's happened to me before, and I'm sure it's happened to many of you as well, is it's like, okay, but if we get off this phone, the offer's gone.
Yes.
And there was one point where that sales tactic was used on me with a coach that I did want to work with. I thought that he could help me. And I said, but I want to talk to my husband. And this is a huge investment. And he went into, and you guys will recognize all of these sales tactics, right? All these objection overcoming things. Well, does your husband run your business? Do you put all of your decisions past your husband?
Yeah.
Is it your business, or is it, you know, all of those? those things, right? Yeah. And, you know, if you told your husband that this is something you wanted to do, would he really, really say no? And so I did. I signed on. And the instant, and I was sick to my stomach when I said yes. And I was sick to my stomach when I got off the phone. And I was sick to my stomach when I had to tell my husband that night, this is what I did. Because for me, it was about honoring my relationship with my husband much more than being empowered to or able to make a decision all on my own. And I was right. guilted and shamed into making that decision. Unfortunately, you know, I did call him back the next day and say, you know what, I don't feel comfortable moving forward. Sort of that trust had been lost.
Yes. Right?
And if you don't have trust between the coach and the client, you really can't make good progress. And so I did. I backed out of that commitment, which of course, you know, my word is my bond and yada, yada. And so I felt guilty about backing out even. But here's the point is that there are different strength themes that need longer to process and longer to make the decision. And what I chose to then do is because then, you know, I was like, well, maybe that's effective. Maybe that's when I was like, no, I don't want to do that. Because this was now a second, this is a long story. I apologize. So this was a second stint with this same coach. And so he had taught me that sort of sales tactic. And it was after right. that point, I was like, absolutely not. I will never, ever do this to another human. And so I chose to really give people that space. So now it is 24 hours. And the reason is that in that time, you have time to process, you have time to talk to the people you want to talk to. And if a coach can't give a client that space to really vet that out, I think there's a fear in the coach.
There's definitely a fear in the right? coach. I mean, everything that you said, that coach was coming from fear. Mm-hmm. I agree. And mm-hmm. I think the 24 hours, I've had that taught to me too. And the people who taught it to me, I never actually used it, but I listened to it being taught, and they taught what you said. Like they said, you know, can you take the credit card now? And if someone said no, you know, like you, I want to talk to my husband, they'd say, okay, when are you going to talk to him next? You know, I'll talk to him tonight. Okay, this offer will be good until, you know, tomorrow yeah. morning. You know, are you comfortable with that? So that's, and I think that feels much more honoring. And you can still take the credit card.
Yeah.
And you can still say, okay, you have until, you know, 10 a.m. to yeah. let me know if this is not going through. And if you don't let me know, I'm going to charge your card. I mean, I think that's perfectly fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just, you know, just gives people time and space to process, you know, so
exactly.
us activators, you've got activator, I've got activator. Typically we can make a decision pretty quickly, but right. you have strength themes like deliberative, like analytical, yes. like responsibility, like, you know, arranger, like, you know, some of these other intellection is, it tends to be like this a little bit too, where you just need more time. And to force someone because of your own fear into yeah. making that decision is not only dishonoring, it's really out of integrity.
Yeah.
And so anyway, if you're using these sales tactics, please stop.
Well, and you don't have to. I mean, the thing is that, you know, that's the thing about the shame. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I do feel like, and I feel like I'm more the messenger. So I like to say, like, I'm committed to you, you know, I'm committed to you understanding the difference between love and fear, but I'm not attached to you actually moving to love, but I do have a preference.
Yeah. So
but you know, even think about that. What happens is it happens exactly like that. You can shame somebody into saying yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like you can shame your kids into, you know,
obeying,
quiet, going mm-hmm. to bed at night. But then how does that shift the dynamic for the long term? And think about it. Like if you're coaching with somebody and somebody signs up for like a high end one-on-one type coaching, and you shame them into saying yes, even if they go through with it, what do you think happens down the road when the person hits a snag? Do you think they're going to trust you?
Yeah.
And I really believe that the sales process should mirror the transformation process, which, you know, your transformation process, which means that there will be bumps. So I am not, love-based does not mean there's that this, you know, somebody's going to listen to you, have a conversation, say, sure, and sign up and all is well. It may mean you being able to hold the space for them to sit in their stuff and decide if they're willing to move forward with you.
Yeah.
And you being quiet while they sit. That's not easy either.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I've adopted in, you know, conversations with potential clients and, you know, I hopefully it comes across on my website and that kind of thing is that if we have a conversation, it really is, I hold a fiduciary responsibility to you. So if the right thing for you is to not work with me, I'm going to absolutely honor that. I'm not attached to the outcome. It really is the conversation's investigative. Because I think sometimes what happens too is, and I know I feel this way, like, oh gosh, if I get on this free consult, like I know this is actually a sales call and now what? Like, am I going to be expected to say yes? And, you know, so it's one of the things that I don't always remember to say it because it's such a part of who I am, but I try to remember to say, look, whatever the outcome of it is of our conversation, if you walk away better for it, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Right. And it sets the stage for an honest and open and really a loving conversation that now you can explore, is this the right fit or not?
Yes, exactly. And I think that's, and I think that's the key, being committed to them, to their transformation and just not attached to them working with you.
Yeah.
And that's about why I said, you know, you getting your mind around your own mindset is just so important, because if you personally are in scarcity, and that's very, very difficult to be able to be in that place and not get all caught up in your head about, you know, this and that and the other thing, but just to really trust and surrender that it's all, that it will all work out. And it, just because it doesn't look exactly the way you want it to look or you think it should look, doesn't mean that it's not working out the way it in a perfect way.
Yeah. So if somebody is in scarcity mindset, they're hearing this message and they're like, oh gosh, you know what? That has been me. That's me. What is the first step? And you know, you and I are on the same page with, you know, doing a significant personal work, right?
Yeah.
But what do you see as the first step from moving? If this is resonating, right? And it certainly resonates with me. And I'm like you, I have a really strong preference, like be loving people.
Right? I know. I agree. But on the other hand, I'm basically about
but you're trying to be, you're
not about forcing.
I'm a little more forceful. It's fine. So they're going, gosh, I want to move from these classic tactics to something that is more love-based. Like that resonates with my heart more, with my integrity more, with my values more. What's their first step?
So here's the thing. Even if you're not completely sold on the love-based thing or not, you know, you not being controlled by your fear-based emotions is going to help you out immensely anyways. And so I'm kind of the belief if we can just start there, I think everything's going to get more love-based, because as you are not reacting in fear, a lot of things are going to shift. So the first step, so there's two things here. First off, if you are in scarcity and you're recognizing yourself and you're feeling any kind of guilt or shame, please stop. You are human. We have all been there, and you know it, and you know it is what it is. You did the best you could. So the second thing is, I'm like, you know, if you can start to have a practice of feeling your emotions. And so when something comes up that's unpleasant, uncomfortable, you know, typically we all have like one of two go-to emotions. So like with me, you know, I definitely am a worrier. So anytime something comes up that triggers me, I tend to slip into worry or anxiety, and I don't actually worry anymore. So if you, so for other worriers out here, you can break it. And so rather than worrying, turn the story off in your head. So don't go down that whole crazy future spinning stuff that you always do. And I know you do because I did it. Turn the story off and just breathe into the worry. Just feel that worry. And the first time you do it, you're going to think you're going to die because it is the worst feeling in the world. You won't die. Just keep breathing into it. And eventually it will break. Mm. And then the more you do it, the deeper it gets. The other one is anger. A lot of people get into anger. So the next time you feel this burning need to go rant on Facebook or call your friends and rant at them, you know, scream at your mother, scream at your kids, stop. And anger is harder to do this. Anger is uncomfortable for me, but it is uncomfortable to sit there in anger because worry is very internal. Yeah. So it's actually easier to kind of sit there, I think, and feel worry feelings. Yep. Mm-hmm. Anger is so much you want to push it out. So it can feel like your head is about to explode. But again, don't do anything that you normally do, and just feel the anger. Just feel the anger. And eventually what's going to happen is you're going to get below the feeling, emotion below it, because that's, and that's probably going to be grief. So don't be surprised if you find yourself crying. I mean, it might not be at this time. It might take a couple weeks. So, but eventually, you know, you might, you know, hit this grind, this crying jag, and that's okay. That means you're moving through, you've moved through that emotion. So that's kind of a sort of a quick summary of dealing with your emotion. But then what do you do now? Like, that doesn't help you. Like, I need money now. So that's not helping. So I get right. it. So what I would say is, in the short term, to shift your mindset to one of abundance, like you're about to get a sales call or you're about to write some copy, marketing copy, is to do what you can to be in an abundant mindset as quickly as possible. So maybe do some meditation. Gratitude is super powerful.
Yes.
That gets you in the highest vibration. Affirmations. If it's warm out, you can go stand outside, you know, with your bare skin touching the ground. I realize if this is January and you're in Wisconsin, which is where I grew up, that would not be the case.
Yes, I'm in Minnesota and it is chilly when this goes live.
Okay, so perhaps not, but if you can, that's a good one too.
That said, Michelle, if it's 40 degrees out today, every Minnesotan will be outside in shorts. So
I know. I remember in Wisconsin, we were like out there in shorts, and so that's another one too. But so there's other. I've got a whole book, Love Based Money and Mindset. And, you know, I talk about more of that in there. So it's kind of a two-pronged course. So it's a short term that you can do when you need to move forward. And then there's a long term of dealing with these feelings and having them lose their hold over you. And because once they've lost their hold over you, you're not going to be reacting to them. And then they won't be controlling you, because they are unconsciously controlling you. I know you don't realize it, but every time you do something because you don't want to feel the feelings, that's how they're controlling you.
Yeah, that so resonates. And this is part of why I like the StrengthsFinder, right? Really, is because there's certain strengths that operate typically a certain way. And so now you don't have to attach a lot of emotion to how you would naturally react. But now you can recognize, oh, this is a trigger for this thing over here.
Yes.
And I get to choose, because I'm taking a breath and I'm recognizing that this is a trigger. And now I get to respond. And
yes.
And I use this in parenting too. Like when my girls are reacting to things, like, you know what? I need you to take a breath and choose to respond.
Yeah.
And us adults need that as much, if not more, than children do.
Oh, I know.
Taking a breath. And I, you know, it is uncomfortable. And it's uncomfortable, especially for those of us with positivity, right, Michelle, that to sit in negative emotions, for one thing, it being stuck or feeling stuck is a trigger for the theme of positivity. And then being stuck in or sitting in a negative emotion is really, really uncomfortable. But it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. And
exactly.
I really want to underscore that, because that was so poignant of you to say, is that just by being willing to sit in that emotion and letting the intensity of that emotion sort of simmer allows you to then come back and go, okay, now what is this about?
Yes.
And every time that you sit in that emotion, I just had this morning with my husband, and I'm not going to go into that story, but I woke up a little angry. And I was like, whoa, okay, Alyssa, take a breath. What is that about? Right? And it took me a few minutes of kind of breathing into it and sort of searching internally. What is this emotion about? And it was not about my husband. It wasn't about any of those things. And thankfully, I had the awareness enough to not, you know, jump down my poor husband's throat before I barely even got out of bed. But we do this when we're not aware of our own emotions. So just be willing to sit in it and ask the question, what is this about?
Yeah.
What is this about?
Yeah. And because that's the thing. I mean, feelings, they just want to be felt. And once they've felt, they'll move through.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more to this too. I mean, because to me, and I've noticed this too, because like all your unfelt emotions create patterns in your life. So if you're somebody who you're like, why is this happening to me again? If you find yourself saying that about anything, it's probably because you've got some unfelt emotions that's trying to get your attention. And the reason why the same thing keeps happening is because it's the same emotion that wants your attention. So really the biggest act of self-love you can give yourself is to sit in that fear-based emotion, because they're a part of you too. And, you know, that is an act of love, is to let your emotions be felt.
Awesome. Awesome. Michelle, this is such powerful, powerful stuff. So you have an entire series of books. Where can people, I don't know if you could just quickly run through them and share with us, how do we find you?
Okay. So the books very quickly are, I've got two love-based copy books because that's kind of where it all began. And then from there, I realized that everything is in our lives has really been built on a lot of it has been built on a foundation of fear, our businesses, our government, our relationships, you know, everything. So I have, it's a love-based business series and love-based copy, love-based online marketing, love-based money and mindset, because boy, is our real relationship with money on a base of fear. Right. And then love-based goals is out in December, because these are for all those goals that you say that you want to do and you're not making any progress. I bet that there's something there. And that's what that book is all about. So that will help you with that. And lovebasedbiz.com is my blog, which I have a podcast and everything else, and a lot of really free resources to help you move through this.
Awesome. Awesome. Lovebasedbiz.com is where you can find Michelle and all of her goodness. I'm so excited to read the entire series. It really resonates, and it's certainly in line with my beliefs. And yet, I know I still have lots and lots of limiting beliefs and other things to work through too. You guys, you never arrive. So even if you think you're like, oh yeah, I kind of do this in my marketing, I would encourage you to get the book and then get the next book and then get the next book, because we can always grow into this more and more and more. I'm super thrilled, Michelle, to have met you. I can't wait to read more of your books. And I'm so grateful for you taking the time here on Maximize Your Strengths. I really appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I had a blast. So this is a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for spending time with us today. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Head over to lovebasedbiz.com. Michelle actually has a free book for you there as well. How to Start a Business You Love and That Loves You Back. As always, if this episode was valuable to you, please share it with a friend and join us in the Maximize Your Strengths Facebook community too. There, we're focused on doing more of what you're great at, embracing your strengths that you have, truly living in your superpowers. Head over to daretosucceed.com/MYS and join in. That's DAIRE, succeed.com/MYS. Remember, you are uniquely poised and wired for success. As Donald Clifton said, your weaknesses will never develop, while your strengths will develop infinitely. Bye for now.